Up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start.
30 lives.
30 lives. Welcome back to the Fantasy Hustle. But first off, I want to talk about that intro there. Contra, best video game ever.
Spent a lot of hours playing that as a child with my brother. Yeah. And that code. It's the only way we ever got past like the second level, I think.
You know what? In college, I was at Brian and Dale's house. And Tony's for like 2 weeks.
Who are they?
Apartments. Oh, buddies. Just some buddies.
Okay.
But I beat it without using the cheat code. I think even a continue too, so.
Can we actually verify this statement?
You can, but I've heard Dale recently tell a story where he did it. So, I love you, Dale, but you just story told on me, son of a bitch. But I love you. Anyway, Contra, best fucking game ever. I got to go with Spread. Best weapon, obviously, for the Nintendo version. Yeah.
The Spread was... you got that. It was always a fight. You know, if you're doing two players, always a fight when you see one of those drop. Someone wanted it more than the other guy, and maybe a punch was thrown after you got it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, Spread, and then for the boss battles, it was always with a laser beam.
Yeah, laser was good.
For the boss, well, I guess you get a row of guys coming at you, you just wipe them out. But
you always play with the first time someone ever played it and they just took off running and they jumped on the bridge before you did and you had to fucking go on the water the whole way. Yeah.
That was always like the dick move you would pull, you know, to screw your guy over.
You dick. And you reset the game. You stomp on the floor so the Nintendo resets itself. All right, let's get back to football here. Welcome back. We had week 2 officially of the preseason begin. Obviously had some good action, a couple injuries, and, an eye for the future, to say the least. I think a lot of these teams kind of starting to get a little bit more PT in there. You know, look at the Bears, for example. Mitch got pretty close to the first quarter. I want to say Brady played the first half.
Yeah, for some reason.
Which, out of all quarterbacks, I don't understand that, but, you know, well, maybe just needs a good workout.
You had him play the whole first half, and then you had several other like definite starters, veterans have been in the league forever, not play at all. So I know Roethlisberger, I don't think he played. I don't know if Eli played, just a bunch of these guys. But then Brady's out there like, I'm just the oldest one and I'll play for a whole half.
Pretty interesting here.
You guys watch any of those games?
I watch bits and pieces.
Of course not.
When I can. I got the... Dolphins games were set up to record. I think tonight is on replay.
Yeah.
Or maybe tomorrow morning. But that's as much as I can right now. I'm a busy man lately.
Come on. He's got young kids. First thing he wants to do is just say, hey, honey, I'm busy. I'm busy.
I'm even behind on Hard Knocks. So that's.
No, I'm not going to lie. I've been loving some Hard Knocks. I mean, every time you watch Hard Knocks, even if the team sucks, you're like, I mean, these guys are going to be good.
Yeah.
I'm going to draft this backup white tight end who whistles to his dad in the crowd.
My favorite thing so far about this Hard Knocks is how just everyone in Cleveland is just like, oh, my God, Jarvis Landry's good. Like, we've never seen someone like this. Like, they're just blown away by someone with talent playing for them.
Bless them.
They're throwing a bunch of money at the Browns right now to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're the third most money bet on them so far to win the – I thought it was the AFC.
Yeah, well –
after the Raiders and the Steelers.
Stat boy over here.
But it's a long shot. So, you know, if there's any long shot to throw money on, it's a team that's probably definitely on the up and weak division other than Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think they'll be better this year, the Browns.
Let's hope so.
I said 7 games earlier, and if they get Dez, I think that's definitely a possibility, although he could be have that transverse effect. And
I don't think there's any way they don't at least triple their win total the last 2 years.
I feel like crappy teams.
Really?
I'm not sold on them yet.
Shitty teams.
Let's talk.
With
$20 on air.
Well, I have a theory. I think they're going
to
be good.
We're not on the air.
They're going
to
be good.
I forgot to hit record, guys.
Is that true?
No.
You think you'd waste that contra intro?
You have someone like Joe Thomas.
Yeah, no shit. I had that planned.
You have a guy like Joe Thomas who was there for how many years? And he's you know, future Hall of Famer. Whenever those guys leave and they're on really bad teams, that team's always good the next year.
But I'm thinking that it could have been more of a cap thing, too. I mean, they did have...
No, I know, but I'm just saying...
They had a cap room anyway, but I mean...
I'm not talking about the business end. I just think, like, whatever the superstition or the whatever, if something happens, and I feel like...
Is that true for the Lions after Sanders left?
Well, I mean, they were okay with Sanders.
Yeah, but it's not like they were going to the playoffs and contenders every year.
Yeah. Or beating the shit out of the Bears on Thanksgiving. Thank you for retiring, Barry. Bitch.
But yeah, anyway, the three wins, I'm just saying, they at least should get there. 5-6 wins is definitely doable, but you never know if Tyrod struggles, or Tyrod, as they like to call him.
T-Y.
If he struggles, or let's say the team struggles and he's okay, and they go to Baker, and Baker's just not the answer... Yeah, 3-4 wins is not out of the question, but
I'll just take the bet then, you sucker. Take it.
No, we'll do bets next week.
How about this 12-pack of Moon Man?
Let's do bets next week.
Sold. We shook. Michael's the witness here.
There was no shaking. I'm clearly saying let's do bets
official.
Next week.
Let me write this down.
Yep. All righty. Well, let's get back into things here.
He even spit in his hand.
I did.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Gonna interrupt again, you son of a bitch.
That was my last one.
Alrighty.
I'm pulling out.
So, we talked about the NFC and AFC North. And then we finished up last week and talked about the rest of the NFC. Now we're kind of going to finish up the AFC. Obviously, you look at the AFC, I feel like things have changed a lot more. There's a lot more competition. Typically, it's Brady just kind of walking into the Super Bowl. But teams crept up like... The Chiefs, the Titans are getting better. The Jags came out of nowhere and just had a freaking dynamic season. You're going to see a lot more of that, too. And I think, you know, the Raiders are going to start creeping up. Everyone thought last year was their year, and I think they kind of going to pick things up here. I like the Jordy Nelson pickup. You know what I mean? I know they got rid of Crabtree, but, you know, Gruden there, too, is another highlight in that free agency is – I would say, you know.
You have Jordy Nelson on your fantasy team. I just noticed that, so.
I did not. That was the next column you were looking at. But anyway, of course you got to hype up the players that you drafted in the 12th round.
Yeah. And then to go on, I mean, Denver is going to be better. That defense is still really good, even though they've lost a few pieces. And then they add possibly a guy that's going to be Defensive Rookie of the Year in Chubb. And then they bring in the quarterback who they're desperately missing. So if Keenum can really be something, they're going to be stronger. The Chargers were on the up last year. They should be better. That defense is getting really good. The AFC, like last year, it
West
looked like
West is definitely
going
to be competitive.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, because the Chiefs will still be okay. Mahomes.
Kind of borderline. They're dropping like flies in the defensive end. So I really don't expect too much of a fight for Rivers. I mean, he gets, you know, turns into his Jay Cutler persona, if I may say, and just starts throwing the ball around like crazy.
Smoking on the field.
That is true. That is true. And, you know, the North, we talked about, touched on that's kind of an interesting division this year. You got a couple teams that are going to surprise people. And the South. South is a quiet division in my eyes. I mean,
there's
Texans kind
of
got
teams there that could
teams
surprise.
Teams kind of coming up. You know, Deshaun Watson's coming a true leader in that offense there. And they had a defense that looked like they could be one of the top in the league with a lot of the, you know, number one draft picks. J.J. Watt himself. I mean, you could just throw that guy in the defensive line. I think he could get you at least 12 sacks.
Yeah,
but
him and Clowney together make up a pretty ferocious pass rush. So
it'll be interesting to see here. But why don't we start in the South here? Speaking of Texas. Texas is, you know, went down with Deshaun Watson, who, in my eyes, kind of hurt as a Bears fan because, you know, we drafted Trubisky. Watson goes number 3 quarterback last year and just – tears it up. And I'm like, oh, shit, we got the wrong guy again.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a lot of things coming their way. Why don't you elaborate on that a little bit?
He was, I mean, Watson was on an unbelievable pace there for those four or five games he started before he got hurt. And then the Seattle game last year, the one he actually possibly tore the ACL, that was one of the most exciting games ever. Him and Wilson just going back and forth, long touchdown after long touchdown. And I think the final score was, I mean, over 80 points scored. So, anyway, this is a team that really doesn't have a whole lot left up in the air fantasy-wise. You gotta keep an eye out on some of the injury issues with Watson. I know he's going to be good to go, but you gotta make sure. And then the other guy, Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, I was going to say Foreman's looking like he could be the future for sure.
Yeah, he was a guy that was pretty good last year in limited amount of time on the field, spelling Lamar Miller. And Lamar Miller is, you know, he gets paid like a number one running back, and he's not really a number one running back. He's an average back that I think is in his last year here in Houston. I think he's got 2 years left on the contract. I think after this year, they're going to move on. So in a dynasty or keeper league, I mean, Foreman looks like a good play, even though he's probably going to start the year.
With the limited amount of carries, you know.
If he even starts the year healthy.
If he gets double digits, you know, coming in the first four games, I think that's progress for fantasy owners.
And I think for Foreman, for this year, I think it'll be second half of the season when he really starts to shine, if he does at all. But like I said, I think his future value is what makes him an interesting play, because I don't see Miller there after this year. But that being said, I think Miller is a solid running back two flex somewhere in that area this year, because I think he's going to get the lion's share of the carries early on and possibly all season long. If they know he's on his way out, if this is his last year, they're going to grind him down, you know, a la DeMarco Murray and Dallas, which you're probably going to see out of Bell this year because he's gone. So they're going to get ample amount of opportunity, ton of carries, ton of opportunities touching the ball. So I like Lamar Miller, like I said, as a running back too, somewhere in that late or early 20 area for the running backs. And then the receivers, there's not much to say there. It's Hopkins and Fuller, and then just a whole bunch of guys that are guys, basically, and tight ends.
No love for Braxton Miller.
I don't think he's ever really going to, especially now, best case scenario, he's the number three guy. And I guess if Watson is what we saw last year, then, yeah, you can have three pretty good receivers. I mean, we've seen it in Green Bay several times. I know you don't really want to hear that, but you can have three solid receivers.
You need an elite quarterback for that, though.
It's true, and that's what I'm saying. If Watson can make that jump, and is that, I mean, Peyton Manning and everywhere, right?
Yeah, elite quarterback.
Yeah, and like, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, no, Dallas Clark, or Brandon Stokely, even, and then in Denver he had all those weapons as well. But I'm saying if Watson can raise himself to that level, maybe Braxton Miller becomes relevant then. But until we see that, I'm not really sure.
I appreciate those 300 words about Braxton Miller, because that was quite...
What you should do is, if he rambles, you just interject with the Contra theme.
I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good idea. Stretton, you hear that, buddy? All righty.
Post-production.
Another team here, since we got a fanboy here, the Colts. I mean, Andrew Luck coming back, supposedly throwing better. T.Y. Hilton's always shown that he can do at least some sort of damage in the fantasy situation. But, you know, it's all going to depend on Luck, honestly. And Marlon Mack's going to get some carries back there. Going to have that chance to kind of really develop himself. And I think that's going to be pretty big role for him.
They haven't had a productive running back with Andrew Luck, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I probably the best might have been when Ahmad Bradshaw was there for that year.
Oh yeah,
and I mean, I don't think he wasn't a top. You know, he wasn't a running back one that year. He might have been like a 20th, something like that. But
because they got rid of Gore, what, the year before.
No, they just got rid of Gore.
No. I want to think about
who was Gore was there. He was okay, but
no, who was the other running back?
Adai.
James Mungro?
Joseph Adai.
James Mungro?
Joseph Adai is the only other guy I can think of.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't there.
In the last.
Anyway, I don't want to focus on the Colts.
But yeah.
The direction that they're going.
Yeah, Luck obviously makes this whole team better if he is back and he is going to be healthy. Now, T.Y. should be better. He had a just horrendous year last year. He had really good games and then just games where he just do absolutely nothing. And Dante Moncrief's gone. Frank Gore, who we just said, he's now gone. So that does open up the door for a lot of targets because Moncrief was the number two there, although he never lived up to the hype. And Gore was a good pass-catching back. So opens up the door for, you know, guys like, I guess, Ryan Grant and Chester Rogers, and then a whole bunch of names that I don't know. And they did draft a rookie, but Deion Kane, and he tore his ACL, so maybe something there. And then Jack Doyle? Could he be a top 10 tight end? No, but they bring in Eric Ebron as well to be like the pass catching, another option for Luck there.
Throw it up and go get it.
But the big thing for them is the running back battle. Mac hurt his hamstring, and hamstring's not a good injury because it lingers all season. He didn't show a whole lot last year. Obviously, he wasn't the starter, but if he's already banged up and they drafted two guys this year, so two rookie running backs coming in, they have Christian Michael there, Robert Turbin's there, just the names that have been all over the NFL, they're just littered in this backfield. So right now, it's really tough to say. I like the two rookies as potential, but I don't know if I'd feel strong about taking any of these running backs for ending in the first half of your draft.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, so we'll see what happens here. I mean, it's all going to depend on Luck and if he can get moving back there. He's going to have to spread that field out and kind of give his running backs a little bit of room if they want to see any productivity. A couple other teams we've got in that division, the Jags, as we talked about. Man, you know, a game away from being there. And who steps in their way? New England.
Patriots.
Typical.
Yeah.
Typical. But I really think the Jaguars have something. You know, I was real big on defense wins games. And there's not a lot of teams that have a dynamic running back. And I don't mean to be, you know, a homer and say they remind me of the Bears of like 2006, 2005-ish. But
what are you being right now?
Totally. To the T. Just got to bring them into the mix for any conversation. It's all about the Bears. But, no, just having a strong defensive core, being able to have a shitty quarterback and a really solid running back that can kind of run in between the tackles. I mean, that's something I kind of saw. Thomas Jones-esque, that's who Fournette kind of reminds me of, because he's obviously Thomas Jones and a little bitch and sits out four games in the season, you know. But, you know, I see that trend in their teams here, and their defense is only getting better.
But still, they're as good as Bortles is going to be.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate because you're right. I mean, Bortles has to have a good year, or they're going to have to start making some changes because Cody Kessler definitely isn't going to be doing anything.
No, Bortles.
And they lost both receivers, top two receivers. I mean, there's a lot of downside going down that offense. And there's going to be a point where Fournette is not going to be as good as he was last year.
And Bortles at the end of last year had a lot of good games there. He looked really good in the AFC playoffs, the Pittsburgh game, the game before they lost to the Patriots. I mean, he's got the ability. He showed it there. And, yeah, he did lose Robinson and Hearns, but Robinson was out all year with the ACL. And Hearns basically became an afterthought because they had all these young guys stepping up for them. So my question, they have a ton of guys. They got Marquise Lee, Keelan Cole.
Moncrief, you know, it's where he kind of
Yeah, he went
got
there.
Really acquainted with. I mean,
they got
Dede
Westbrook
of...
there, and then they drafted a young guy from LSU, DJ Chark. So the question is, who do you like at all that? Is there any of these receivers that they could have something? I mean, if Bortles, let's say Bortles becomes a top 20 quarterback, nothing great, but serviceable, does that make any of these receivers fantasy plays?
There's got to be at least one.
I mean, obviously all eyes are going to point on Marquise Lee, but
yeah. The problem is there's no top
dog. I can't see that happening. You know what I mean? I think they're just going to load the box up and stop them and make it be a defensive battle if that's the case, but the defense can only stay on the field for so long.
And
even good defenses.
They also brought in Austin Seferian Jenkins, too. So just a ton of good pass catching options. Nothing that blows you away, but maybe reliable guys that can get you. What they really need to do is just find ways for Bortles to succeed, you know?
Well, they did. They picked up Pro Bowler, Norwell, from the Panthers. So, I mean, that's having a bigger guard in there, someone who can actually stand up.
So your offensive line's going to be better.
You give them a little bit more protection. Maybe that's what it was. You know what I mean? Maybe they're just focusing on that defensive side of the ball. But, you know, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, that's tough to replace and try to think you're going to have a chance of going back to, you know, AFC Championship. But, and also someone who kind of showed up out of nowhere last year, Mercedes Lewis.
No, he's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone. He's gone. They got Niles Paul now.
I see that name. I started laughing. I'm like,
One guy we didn't touch on here. I just want to get your thoughts. TJ Yeldon, the backup.
No, it's a good player right there. I think any time Fournette was out, he definitely stepped up last year. And I think he's someone that could have a pretty decent year this year. I mean, if I'm a Fournette guy, I'm drafting him, I'm probably going to handcuff. He's probably one of the guys I would definitely handcuff. Just given...
You figure he'll miss two or three games throughout the year, Fournette will.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeldon's been pretty good given the opportunity. Even with Ivory there last year, he had some good games without Fournette. And he's a good pass-catching back as well, so, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Last team in that division, the Titans. This is a team last year I really thought was going to kind of turn it around here. Mariota was looking like he was turning the page, and, you know, DeMarco Murray... Draft Derrick Henry. You got two solid running backs there. And Corey Davis. Shard Matthews been a stud for the past couple of years. I mean, veteran Delanie Walker, who had a... Hey, why don't you whisper in the microphone? But,
Jackass.
You jackass.
I've never done this before.
That's what she said. But this year, I mean, picking up Deion Lewis... Different change of pace here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You had that, you know, uphill running back who just freaking can ground and pound, and now you got that guy who can kind of split up on some screens, and I think that's going to be, you know, pretty big. And, you know, a big addition for him also this year is Vrabel. I mean, I like to see what he's going to do on that defensive side of the ball. Starting to add weapons on the offense, and I think you need someone defensive-minded to kind of get in there and, you know, take care of business with the addition of Malcolm Butler. I mean, yeah, guy sat out the Super Bowl, but you never know what happened in New England. And I think coming here, along with Kenny Vaccaro, they're definitely adding to their secondary and could definitely be some good additions here.
Yeah, they obviously they had a whole coaching change, and they brought in the guy from the Rams last year, Matt LaFleur, and... That could be a really good thing for the passing game.
LaFleur? The mall security cop from Mallrats?
Yes. So that should be a good thing for the passing game. And, you know, Corey Davis is one of those guys. He's a freak athlete. He's got all the ability, but he was just hurt all last year. And you saw him actually, you know, just tear apart his now teammate, Malcolm Butler. For a few good looks in the playoffs last year. So he has the ability. We've seen it. There's also a couple other guys there that might be something. Rashad Matthews, who's we thought was hurt.
He's been a better than average fantasy football player
in the past
couple years.
He's the starter with Corey Davis there. And then Delanie Walker's another guy who's, you know, pretty good tight end, especially considering
he's a dependable
Yes.
Tier three, tier four tight end.
Yeah, he's not in that upper echelon, but he's definitely a guy that, you know, in the mid rounds of your draft that you can take with confidence, and you're plugging someone in there that's not going to get you 0 to 3 points. He'll probably get you at floor 4 or 5 points, which is fine for a tight end.
Yeah.
With the ability to jump to a 10, 11, 12. So this is an interesting offense. It'll be interesting to see with the new change in coaching philosophy if they air it out a little bit more, which...
And a healthy Mariota, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. I mean,
and I think what you said with the running backs, Derrick Henry, he'll be a fine back there. And I think they didn't want to put all the pressure on him. So that's why they bring in a Deion Lewis, just to kind of, you know, every other series or every couple of series, he'll come in. He'll probably be the third down back in long yardage situations. But Henry's going to be the short yardage, first, second down back, and he'll get the majority of the carries on the year.
So, I mean, that's pretty much what we're going to deal with here in the AFC South. But, you know, a couple other tougher divisions, in my opinion, are obviously, you know, the West and the East. I say the East just because I'm trying to give you a little credit because the Dolphins suck. But, you know,
well,
them Bills and Dolphins, man, they're good.
I think we should just jump into the East then, since we know the West is going to be very competitive. It's going to be probably the strongest division in that conference. So, yeah, let's jump into the East here, which is basically a battle for second place. Patriots will probably win 12 to 14 games and win the division by at least, you know, 5 games, something like that. So the battle for second comes down to Buffalo, Miami, and New York. We'll start in Buffalo. They get rid of Tyrod, bring in McCarron, draft Josh Allen. McCarron breaks his collarbone, so it's going to be Josh Allen to start the season, which I think he was the least ready of the top guys. I mean, you get the guy in Baltimore who wasn't ready, but he's not being thrown into the situation. Josh Allen was supposed to sit for the full year or sit for half the year and learn. Now he's going to be thrown right in there, and it's not like he has the greatest weapons. The offensive line isn't as good as it was. They had to trade one of their top offensive linemen to move up in the draft with the Bengals. Who knows what's going on with LeSean McCoy? That whole legal situation, he might play, he might get suspended once that investigation comes through.
Yeah, Kelvin Benjamin with a bum knee.
Yeah.
Who's showing signs of, you know, it could be something good for the future.
They were able to go out there and spend absolutely nothing to get a former first-round pick and Corey Coleman, who maybe just needed a change of scenery. You know, you're in Cleveland. Your whole career, you've won one game in Cleveland, and you haven't really played. You've been hurt. So maybe a change of scenery would be good for him. I mean, you also get to leave Cleveland, so that's a bonus.
Yeah.
But I think along with Benjamin, they brought in Jeremy Curley, who has been an okay third option for teams. And Zay Jones is still there. So there might be some pretty good weapons in this offensive attack. And Charles Clay, like we talked about with Delanie Walker, Charles Clay is like a poor man's Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
His floor is going to be a little lower. His ceiling is going to be a little lower. But he's going to be a guy that consistently gets targets, and if he can turn those into points, it's kind of up in the air, but at least he's someone that you know is going to have the opportunity to score points for you. So at the end of the day, I think it really all just kind of comes down to, is Josh Allen ready to be an NFL quarterback, or is this going to be one of those years that are just dreadful and the Bills will be picking very high in this year's draft?
Now, from one shitty team to the next, with Buffalo comes Miami. I mean, yeah. Miami, another team that, you know, you think's on the rebuild, sometimes they show a little bit of signs of life, and you think that Gase has got something that he can maybe pull out of his sleeve, but I just don't trust it. And you lost Landry, you lost a really big weapon.
Well, they lost their two best players, offensive Landry, defensive Sue. They were the best players by far on this team. They're both now gone. There's been a lot of change on this team, and I think this is kind of Gase's last shot at something and Tannehill's last shot at something. Tannehill was good in 2016 when Gase was first there as a rookie head coach. So that gives me a little bit of optimism for this year. And Tannehill's actually showing like he's got some balls. He threw the rookie Balazs out of the huddle the other day for missing a block, and he's actually getting vocal and being a leader. So maybe that he's finally starting to figure it out. And, you know, he's got stiff competition and Brock Osweiler breathing down his neck.
Yeah.
So
both garbage.
Anyway, the big thing for them, they replaced their left guard and their center. So they got two new players there. And honestly, it probably is an upgrade. They bring in Josh Sitton, obviously, you know, pretty well,
mm-hmm.
at the left guard. And then they replaced Jermon Bushrod, actually. And at the center,
another former Bear.
Yeah. And at the center, they got rid of the Pouncey brother, the worst of the two Pouncey brothers.
Mike, yeah.
And they brought in Daniel Kilgrove from formerly
he's been hurt his whole career.
Of the Niners, exactly. Yeah, he's had a struggle to stay on the field. So they have five solid guys on their line, and that's going to open things up for the possibility of a Kenyon Drake, Frank Gore backfield there to actually do some nice things. As we talked about Landry, he's gone. They bring in Amendola. They bring in Albert Wilson, I think.
And Albert Wilson's a guy who I was hoping was coming into Chicago. There are rumors, and just his production last year on that, you know, potent Kansas City defense, offense, was just, you know, unbelievable. He knew his role, and he always was there. He always caught that ball, and that's someone that definitely going to benefit the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think right now with Devontae Parker, he's got some broken fingers. He's going to be out for the rest of the preseason. That opened up the door for Wilson because Amendola was a slot guy and it was Stills and Parker out wide. Stills is one of the quietest productive guys in fantasy the last few years.
Yeah, he has been.
He's been, you know, surprisingly decent at times. And I think he's going to be a good favorite target of Tannehill this year. And then lastly, they're basically the Bears of the South.
Yeah.
Because not only do they have Adam Gase, and we talked about Bushrod. And Sitton and a handful of other guys, but their new offensive coordinator, Dal Loganes, he's down there.
Oh, you guys are fucked. He's so awful.
Luckily,
so awful.
Adam Gase is going to be calling the plays, and he's just there because I think Adam Gase was missing a leg for his table and wanted him just to sit underneath it. I hope that's why he's down there. But I started very pessimistic about the Dolphins early in the off season, after free agency, after the draft and all that. And slowly I'm creeping upwards with the good play so far, the good leadership of Tannehill. So I'm not ready to say they're going to be a playoff team. But I think, hey, they're going to be second place in this division.
No, they're not.
They're going to finish five games behind New England at 8-8.
Okay, that's another $20 bet I like to take. Definitely another $20 bet I like to take.
All right.
Let's. I know you're trying to save the best for last, but...
You want to just go to New England now?
Then might as well go to New England.
All right, so instead of sticking with the crappy, we're just going to touch on New England real quick. A lot of change here, too, that, you know, Amendola's now gone. Brandon Cook's gone. Deion Lewis, and then Nate Solder's gone as well, one of their tackles. So they have a lot of change, and they kind of replaced it all pretty swiftly with, you know, they brought in the kid from Jordan Matthews. He didn't work out for him, wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He didn't work out, so he's gone now. Now they bring in Eric Decker. And then Jeremy Hill and... Sony Michel, who comes in as probably the guy most likely to be the featured back. Michel, not Hill. Just want to clarify that. But, you know, Burkhead's still there. James White's still there. It is a good pass-catching option.
They got hella running backs.
They have a ton of them.
You're talking about Michel, Burkhead.
They got Gillislee and Bolden.
I see White's always going to have his... You know, mid-to-end season.
He's the receiving back, too, in a PPR league is very nice.
But, yeah, I mean, Hill, Gillislee, it's...
And Brandon Bolden, I think, played in one of the... started maybe in one of their playoff games last year or 2 years ago. So they're not afraid to just use whoever the hell they want at the running back position, and somehow they get success with it.
Wide receiver-wise, though, when you look at that end, you got Edelman coming out with the suspension.
Yeah, he'll be suspended to start. Chris Hogan and Gronk,
while healthy,
will be the two top options there. Chris Hogan probably in for a pretty good year. He's really, really good at getting open, and he's decent in the red zone, too. Last year, in only, I think, eight games, he had a ton of touchdowns. I know he had a 3-touchdown game, but he's just a guy that finds a way to get open, finds a way to get in the end zone. And while Edelman's out, he'll be the number one receiver, along with all these other guys we already kind of talked about. Decker, they got Philip Dorsett and Cordarrelle Patterson, but I think that's just more for kick return.
Yeah. I think he could be beneficial here, the way New England's guys been dropping like flies. I think Brady's just throwing the medicine balls at his old age, but that's just me.
Yeah. And they did have two first-round picks. The other one tore his Achilles, and he's out for the year. He was a tackle, so not a great start. Maybe this
former
is...
former Alabama prospect.
Maybe this is the beginning of the end for the New England dynasty. We can only hope.
You can only hope, Dolphins fan.
I think everyone in the NFL will be happy.
Yeah, no, you're right.
New England and Tom Brady and his butthole chins out of the NFL.
The final team, which would probably be the second place team, in my opinion, this year, the Jets. J-E-T-S, baby.
And they got three quarterbacks that would be starting for Bills. They would be starting for the Ravens. Probably a handful of other teams. I mean,
Cardinals.
McCown's still pretty good. He still had a pretty good year last year. I imagine he'll be the guy to kind of get the first crack at it. They're not going to. I think all these rookie quarterbacks are going to sit for a little while.
Well, my question is Teddy Bridgewater going to be there?
No, he's going to get traded. Someone is going to be desperate enough. They're going to trade for him, and I don't know what they're going to get. It's not like you're going to get the Sam Bradford deal that...
I was just thinking, like, Bradford's going to be the one who goes down.
Well,
and they're going to...
Yeah. When Bridgewater went down, you know, the Vikings paid that huge premium to bring Bradford in.
Absurd, man.
I don't think someone's going to give that for Bridgewater, but you're talking about a second-round pick, maybe a third and a fourth, something like that. So I think Bridgewater's definitely on the move. Maybe Buffalo. I know it's a team in their division, but...
Price is right, man.
McCarron's down. If you don't want Allen thrown to the Wolves right away, maybe you do make that kind of move. Although, how quickly can Bridgewater get, you know, established in that system? Like I said, it'll be McCown probably to start. Darnell will take over after 5 or 6 games when they start 0-6 or 1-5, something like that.
Well, let's get off the running backs here. I know Darnell's looking pretty solid here. He's kind of... good first game, obviously probably against the third stringers. Then you go to second game, a little bit more, you know, ones and twos are in there. Got to give him a little bit of that action. Definitely, you can tell he's got his flaws. Running the ball, though, an aged Matt Forte obviously stepped away from the game, so Jets went out, picked up Isaiah Crowell, who had a pretty decent year last year with the Browns, you know what I mean? And Bilal Paul is always going to be that number two back.
Yeah.
I mean, solid guy to have. McGuire didn't do too bad last year. It picked up Thomas Rawls. I mean, looking pretty solid on
McGuire's
there.
McGuire's already hurt. You know, these preseason injuries are so bad because they set them back for the regular season and they can't get it going and then they lose all this time and a chance to establish themselves. So Crowell has an opportunity to really, you know, separate himself from guys like McGuire. I don't think Thomas Rawls is a guy that... just the way he runs, he doesn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised if Bilal Powell is the best running back fantasy-wise this year for this team because he's going to get you a ton of carry or a ton of receptions, probably 60 to 70 easily. And then, you know, if something happens to Crowell or even, you know, even if they split it, Powell has the big play ability to do something special every single week. So I think Powell's going to be that top guy there. At the end of the year, his numbers will be the best, fantasy points-wise.
Wide receivers aren't too shabby either. I mean, they have
you know, this is kind of like...
I'm not
going
to say like a, you know, good one and two, but they have a solid, you know, B group of wide receivers. Guys that...
Yeah, it's kind of like Jacksonville. You know, we touched on earlier. But
chances are they're going to hit majority of the time.
I know Robbie Anderson had a really good year last year, and that was kind of a surprise. But you would think he kind of regresses a little bit. Jermaine Kearse is there. Quincy Enunwa. They bring in Terrell Pryor. So they have all these decent options, but no, again, no top guy. Nobody that you can really rely on. Like, you know, Odell Beckham and your Julio and Antonio Brown. Obviously, it doesn't even have to be that level. It could be like a Mike Evans. They don't have any, something like that. They just have a bunch of, you know, 20 to 40 range receivers that one of them could pop, and then you put a high draft capital on a guy like Terrell Pryor, and he craps the bed for you. So,
yeah,
it's a really tough call there. Obviously, Robbie Anderson's the one I like the most. I think he showed last year he has the ability. He's got the talent for sure to be a good
You know,
they're receiver.
One team I was thinking that would go calling for Dez Bryant. I know the Browns are kind of in the mix now, but I feel like they're the team who needs someone who could step in. And I know Dez isn't the number one that he used to be, but when you put him on a team with some solid number twos, number threes,
yeah,
he's going to be productive.
Well, he can be that top guy for this team. And now I'm not saying he's going to be a top 10. If Dez went there, that'd be a good fit because, yeah, they do need him. But I think he could be that guy to kind of take the pressure off these other guys. He can take the double coverage. He can go up and win 50-50 balls and all that stuff. So that wouldn't be a bad play there. But as they're constructed right now, you know, it's just a, like, draft Robbie Anderson somewhere in the mid rounds, and then the other guys are probably more of a late round flyers or maybe just waiver wire watches.
Well, wrap up the East for sure. We're going to head into the West. Check out the best division, I guess you'd say, of AFC, in my opinion. And I think aside from the Chargers, you know, Chargers have had good years in the past here. I mean, Phillip Rivers has always had Antonio Gates. You know, they started grooming Hunter Henry, and obviously both those guys are not there now. So that's something that Phillip's going to have to figure out. Keenan Allen, just when he's healthy, is just phenomenal. Top five wide receivers, you know what I mean? Yeah, they brought in Virgil Green to try to be more of a pass blocking option for him on the tight end, but they're really struggling on the side of, you know, that guy that he looks for right up the middle. Melvin Gordon, though, obviously blossomed out of that rookie year that was just awful, you know, and he's shown that he can be one of the top running backs,
yeah,
top 10
sure.
in the league, so he's going to be something to look out there for. And another rookie wide receiver, well, last year was a rookie, but Mike Williams obviously was hurt. But I think this is going to be the year that he kind of really steps it up.
Yeah, he's that big body that they're now missing without the tight end. And I think red zone-wise, he should be a great look for them.
Yeah. Obviously, they lucked out and got Derwin James, who I had pretty high on my draft board. You know, rookie from Florida State came to them. And with the injuries they've had in the secondary specifically, I think he's going to be someone who definitely steps up and can kind of step into that role quick. Your boy, Mike Pouncey. Obviously, they picked him up from the Dolphins. See what that kind of helps out.
He's already
See if that
hurt.
Does anything. But, yeah, give it another year, and then he'll be hurt again. but I think they lost more than they gained. You know what I mean? Obviously, Antonio Gates was a guy that, you know, Rivers depended on every fourth down in the red zone. Hunter
yeah.
Henry came back, man. It was looking like he could be his replacement here, and they were kind of shifting that route. Torn ACL. You know, Pro Bowl cornerback Jason Verrett, Achilles, you know, former first-round pick, gone. Jalen Watkins this past weekend, safety who's been pushed into the number ones, he's gone now. I mean, they're fucked on the defensive side of the ball. And the only thing they got really is Bosa and Ingram.
Well, they got the two really good pass rushers. They got a good defensive line. And Casey Hayward's one of the best corners in the league.
Yeah.
And he had an awesome year last year. And then you have to have high hopes if you're a Chargers fan or if you like this defense. and the rookie, like you said, James, Derwin James. So I like this team to probably win the division. It's going to be a dogfight. This division's loaded with four teams that can easily win it and four teams that are going to finish in the cellar. So, yeah, my thoughts, though, you kind of touched on Gordon there. Do you think he's got the ability to be a top five back?
I tell you what, given where he's at with the quarterback he's got some weapons on the outside, which is what you need to kind of spread the field out. I think given the situation and given the amount of carries, he could definitely be one of those guys. You know, he's got the right foundation there. Defense is beat up. I think if the defense was healthy, I would say yeah. But just the fact that he's really going to have a huge hole on that side of the ball that's going to affect the offensive play. And at some points, it's going to be garbage points for, you know, next guy up.
When Michael was in here earlier, we were talking about running backs that are like the guy for their team. They get all the majority of the carries, majority of the targets. He's still kind of one of those guys because Eckler's there, but it's not really challenging him for a whole lot of carries. And he's a decent receiving back as well. I mean, there's only a handful of those guys in the league, and he's kind of on the fringe of being one of those guys.
Excuse me. Another team right down the road, the Oakland Raiders. They went out, got a new coach. Probably the coach that no one thought was going to coach again, but you thought, like, this guy better be a fucking good coach, seeing that all he does is watch plays and draw on the fucking touchscreen all day. But he was the guy I was hoping maybe he'd come to the Bears. He'd come out of retirement for it, but, you know, $10 million a year, adios. Anyway, John Gruden goes in there. People think that he's going to kind of turn Derek Carr around. Derek Carr showed that he had the potential to be a stud, to be easily a top 10 quarterback. And hell, I think he started off pretty good until he got a little bit beat up. But he went out, lost Marcus Crabtree, all right, to Baltimore. But they turn around and they pick up Jordy Nelson on that side of the ball. My opinion, I think it's a better option there. And they went out and got Martavis Bryant, who's also a guy who hasn't been doing too well, but you get him on the right path, I think he's going to be someone that is going to, you know, huge upside as number three.
Yeah, Martavis has always been a guy that's had huge upside, and Jordy's on the back nine of his career, and he's a speed guy that's not as fast as he was, but he's still a guy that can, you know, go up and win 50-50 balls. I know Crabtree was a great red zone option for him, and they will miss him in that regard, but I think you can find ways around that. I think Lynch, given a full year back now in football shape, I think he'll be better and down there in the red zone, down there on the goal line.
Plus, I think they got a better, you know, accomplice with him. You know, the two-headed monster. They got Doug Martin. Although he's...
I don't know.
He's wishy-washy sometimes.
I don't know if Doug Martin makes this team. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be the backup. He probably... The contract he signed probably guarantees he's going to make the team. But, I mean, Chris Warren, DeAndre Washington, and Jalen Richard. They're all there. They're all competing for that backup spot, and Doug Martin hasn't been good.
And you're right. They have been good in past years, so he could be a casualty. But I think in the long run, the guy needs a chance. You know, he really wasn't given that in Tampa Bay. I mean, he had a couple games where they kind of gave him a couple carries. But a
couple of years, last year didn't come out.
But long run, you know, they have good additions to their team, but one thing that's really holding them back from really stepping up and a guy who could be coming to the NFC North is Khalil Mack. I mean, guy needs to sign his contract. That's a guy that you got to have.
Yeah.
Top three player, defensive players in the league.
Absolutely.
And just not working, man. Just not working. But, I mean, with the Raiders, they've always sucked. They always piss me off, and you know, their fans piss me off the most. I see them like, come on, man, really?
Yeah, but I can do without the Raiders, man.
Yeah. Team I really liked in that division, who kind of showed that they're on the turnaround, even though they had a huge position change at quarterback, is the Chiefs. Alex Smith has showed the past couple of years that, you know, he's for real now. He's actually got lot more steals than people thought. They thought he was just flaking out in San Fran, and he stepped it up, which obviously, you know, he gets transferred, goes to the Redskins, and they drafted Mahomes, I want to say 7, somewhere around there last year in the draft, and guy's got a cannon. I know you saw that pass this past week. I mean,
our friend of ours, Matt, who has him in my keeper league, I texted him, asked if he saw it, and of course he did, and he said he was dreaming about it all night, and I asked if they were wet. I'm sure they were. I'm sure they were.
Yeah, it's gay. But not that there's anything wrong with it. But I really think the Chiefs are going to take it to that next level this year. You know what I mean? Suing Mahomes fits a little bit in there, stops throwing the ball away. Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, and of course you got Kelsey up the middle. Yeah. I mean, and this is all on the outer skirts with Kareem Hunt running behind the ones and twos. And I mean, his two backups have shown that anytime they've gotten the ball, they can run it.
So, I mean, they're much better offense. The weapons are much better. I, you know, like, obviously, it all comes down to Smith versus Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
But Spencer Ware's back and healthy. Charcandis West, or Charcandrick West, is still there. And then they bring in a guy that I really liked last year in Damian Williams. He's a former Dolphin. Just a good third down back. And he's not going to do anything else other than be that third down back. So it gives them so many more options. And, of course, they brought in Watkins as, you know, they had nothing opposite Hill, really. Albert Wilson, who we touched on a little bit ago, was okay, but doesn't give you the same big playability that Watkins does. So Mahomes has more weapons than Smith has. So if he isn't good or he struggles.
What about Nagy, motherfucker?
But it's still Andy Reid. I mean, Andy Reid is still the head coach there. He's still the guy. I mean, this is, you're talking about Nagy, who's called a handful of games. That's it. It's Reid.
That's what you think, boy.
Just keep remembering that playoff game against the Titans.
Whatever. You know, they lost Marcus Peters. Obviously, trade to the Rams, which, you know, I'm still kind of weigh the comparison. But, you know, fourth in the second round. I think they end up getting like a 6-2 with it, but it's tough to give up. The kid's a stud, and he's someone that they're definitely going to miss. They did pick up another Bear, Kyle Fuller's brother, Kendall, from the Redskins in that Alex Smith trade, so there's upside there, you know.
Yeah.
But you can't replace a Pro Bowler. I mean, it's just definitely just not, doesn't equate for sure. They lost the agent Derek Johnson to their division rival, Raiders. But the defense went from 2 years ago being one of the top two defenses in the league, and they've been losing pieces left and right. And I really don't see – I think they're going to be more of a shootout team.
Yeah,
kind of like the Patriots of old, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're basically like the Seahawks of last year. Aging defense, guys that are at the end of their career, and they're just going to have to outscore everybody. And – they have the weapons, and Mahomes is probably going to be a guy like Russell Wilson who can get out of the pocket and let his receivers get open or just run for it. I mean, this is a guy that had great success running the football in college. So, I mean, maybe Mahomes and this offense can score, you know, close to 30 points a game and win that way. But I don't know. It's a lot of pressure to put on a basically rookie quarterback.
I agree. Last team that, last Super Bowl champion of the division and probably one of the best defenses in the league for at least 5 years, you know what I mean? They still got some strong core pieces in there. I mean, Devon Miller's, I've seen that they didn't pick up Shane Ray's extension, who they were hoping to be the, you know, comparison linebacker on the other side, but they did a little bit even better by sucking. They went out and they got Bradley Chubb, who is by far, you know,
the best
predicted rookie of the year. I mean, it's going to be, he stays healthy. There's no way he's not going to make an impact on the field. Adding Case Keenum to a quarterback situation that is just ridiculous. Crazy thing about that situation, the backup who they drafted and they thought was going to kind of turn around and be their guy. Paxton Lynch is falling off to possibly even getting cut from their roster.
Yeah, he's going to be out of the NFL. He'll be Johnny Manziel's backup in a few weeks.
But
yeah, Case Keenum changes the whole dynamic of this team. He makes them a legitimate Super Bowl contender because of that defense. They still have that great pass rush. Still have a pretty good secondary. And you know, Chris Harris is again one of the best receiver or cornerbacks in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you get that kind of combination of really good pass rush and good secondary, I mean that's going to lead to a lot of turnovers. And
picked up Sua Cravens too from Washington. Yes. I think he's going to be a good, if not for the depth chart, if he can't hop in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Big pickup I think this year is the rookie out of Oregon, Freeman. I mean, that guy's showing that he's going to push Devontae Booker out of that spot here real quick.
Yeah, they got two good rookies there. The receiver is probably going to be the opposite Demaryius Thomas and Cortland Sutton. I heard Emmanuel Sanders is going to be working primarily out of the slot, and those two guys will be on the outside. So two really promising rookies, perhaps, if Demaryius, who had a down year last year, can kind of rebound. And then Sanders still doing the thing at his age. So I think, like I said, they just need that quarterback. And if Keenum has any kind of success he had last year, this is definitely a contender.
Yeah. Be interesting to see how Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders' stock go, given the fact that they got someone who could actually throw the fucking football.
Yeah.
And that even goes back to when Manning was there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Even him, he couldn't throw shit. So... you know, maybe Denver is on the rise with the addition of Case Keenum, even though it's not nothing crazy. But like I said, Bradley Chubb, I think, is going to be very quintessential to how they move forward in this.
Yeah, definitely.
But, so, I mean, that's the quick little recap of NFL teams here. Obviously, we're heading into fantasy draft weekend. So, thinking next week we'll kind of go over rankings where we think we got everyone here and you know?
Yeah, of course, we are doing a ranking show the week after draft weekend, primarily because we don't want our friends hearing our rankings and then drafting the guys we like ahead of us just because they heard us talk about it. Because
well, I think there's two draft weekends. I mean, I think it's the next weekend and then the Labor Day weekend because, you know, all rolls in.
I think, though, like
just
this weekend.
Just you plan your weekend at B-dubs.
I think this weekend is the big weekend, though, because Labor Day is a tough one. Yeah, like, I know you just do it and say, yeah, screw all you guys. This is the weekend I'm free. We're doing it. But I take my league mates into account and say, hey, is this weekend work for? Oh, no, Labor Day doesn't work for anybody. Okay, then we'll do it this weekend. So this is a big weekend for drafts. It's also the third preseason week, which is the big week. So... we will do our ranking show next week. We'll kind of give you a rundown, we're not going to go too in depth in like 50 running backs or receivers, but we'll give you at least the top 24 at those positions to give you running back one and two, running receiver one and two, and then I know we want to touch on some bets. We want to touch on awards like MVPs and stuff like that. So we're going to bring all that to you next week. So make sure you check us out. And then, of course,
if you want to get a hold of us,
as always, you can call the hotline. That's 219-576-6797. You can go ahead and shoot us any of your questions there, and we'll answer anything you want on next week's podcast. We're also on the email. That's John, J-O-N, no H. J-O-N.
We don't got no fucking H's, baby.
John G's Fantasy Hustle at gmail.com. There's an H in hustle. And
always.
Then
always.
We're on the Twitter machine. At @fantasy_hustle. Up, up, down, down. Left, right, B-A. Select start.
Dum, 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 dum.
Bye.